This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:38. It's time for Today on Twitter, where Doraemon is trending as its co-creator passed away today.
So I want to be clear that we're not excited.
Yes, I realized that my intro sounded like that. I think I meant we're excited to pay tribute to
him. And to talk about Doraemon. But it is worth saying that the co-creator of Doraemon, whose name is Motu Abiko, who was one part of Fujiko Fujio that I think we would have been seeing on all the covers, basically passed away this morning at his residence in Kawasaki, Tokyo. He was 88. Previously, the co-creator or the other co-creator, Hiroshi Fujimoto, passed away in 1996. So it's the end of an era, I would say. And the reason why I think we wanted to do this is partly to pay tribute to the role that Doraemon has played in childhoods around the world. I mean, I'm being very restrained, but the truth is that anytime Doraemon comes up in conversation in the office, outside the office, on by the book, on popcorn culture, I get incredibly excited because that little robot cat without ears is tremendously important to me. Played a huge, huge role in my childhood.
Yes, I noticed you were very restrained because the real sentence that you should have said earlier was the reason we wanted to do this was because I heard Fujiko Fujio had passed away. I screamed, I yelled, and then I said, we should talk about Doraemon today. And that's how today's Today on Twitter was birthed.
Which is also, you know, justifiable because it is in fact trending. So I just want to say that while, yes, I was wildly enthusiastic earlier, this is also, I think, an interesting one because I hadn't read up a lot, to be honest, about Fujiko Fujio and about that particular partnership. But it's really interesting and rather sweet. I mean, both essentially Hiroshi Fujimoto and Motu Abiko were friends from primary school. They were childhood and lifelong friends. They worked on a number of different things with Doraemon, of course, being the most famous internationally. But they also have other publications that, to be honest, I haven't necessarily read. And that includes things like Ninja Hattori-kun or The Monster Kid. They were heavily influenced by Osamu Tezuka. And I just love the idea that they were in love with Astro Boy and then created kind of a modern or a figure that has also come to represent Japan in the minds of so many people around the world. Just, I don't think we can underestimate the impact of the things that we love when we were children.
No, I completely agree. See, I think that the thing that's special about something like Doraemon and manga in general, anime as an extension, is that for those of us in this part of the world, they were largely one of the few worldwide alternatives to Hollywood and Hollywood cartoons. And I think there's something quite special about being able to access this stuff. And you always felt like you were part of a little bit of an in-group. Doraemon was such a thing when we were in school, right? Being able to buy those comics and trade them, and in my school they were banned. So I think the other part of this is that with duos, when people who are sort of these partnerships or they become associated with each other, I always feel like one of them passes away, you're sad, but the remaining person almost carries on the torch. But then when the second person passes away, there's an additional amount of, I don't know, it's finally over. An era is finally over. And I felt that with this. The same way I felt when finally Siskel and Ebert were no more, right? Mm. I think that there's something quite bittersweet. And you know, he lived a long life. And that idea of them being friends and doing this together, it's all very sweet.
You know, something that I found kind of inspiring, especially about something that became as huge as Doraemon because it was syndicated, I think many people who didn't actually read it would still be familiar with the television show, which was actually widely syndicated and distributed. And I love the fact that from the very beginning, they always split their expenses and profits evenly down the middle. And like you said, when you have these sorts of scenarios where two people become a duo and are subsequently known as Fujiko Fujio, whether it's Fujiko Fujio A, who just passed away, or Fujiko F Fujio. So, you know, I think that it's rather sweet. And there's something to be said about how to run how to have a long-running partnership and friendship. The other thing I wanted to acknowledge, which some of the tweets acknowledge as well, is I think the reason why Doraemon was so appealing is a combination of imagination, the idea of a cat from the future who has been sent back to ensure that with his pouch of tricks and tools, you're going to be able to do any number of things. You're going to be able to visit the dinosaurs. You're going to be able to have intergalactic adventures. But it's also somewhat sad because the premise of why Doraemon is there in the first place is because Nobita doesn't succeed. Mm. And he's being sent back in order to ensure that this whole lineage or this whole family can be taken care of. And there's something very inherently Japanese, yes, but also Asian about that idea of family and about taking care of one another, but also about being the only one of your kind, you know, the only one who is trying to keep it all together. I know I'm sounding very existential, but reading it or thinking about it as an adult, those are the things that stand out to me.
No, and all of those things, I think, are particularly Japanese things, particularly Japanese ways of telling stories, reflecting on childhood, and that distinction between that and Disney, for instance, or you know, the kinds of cartoons that you would get otherwise is very different. There's a sense of maturity, adultness, melancholy, even in something like Doraemon, which is very different. And I do think that if you've never read it, when you go to it and you realize how different it is, despite being written for kids, there's something quite special then. And I, you know, I keep saying something very Japanese, but I do think that it's a particular sensibility that you get with Japanese manga, Japanese anime, that you may not get with other sorts of entertainment. So many nice tributes. There's this one from Yoshikigami, who says, Doraemon will always have a special place in the heart of 80s and 90s kids. Rest in peace, legend.
Meanwhile, Richmond says, RIP Abiko Motu, aka Fujiko A. Fujio, a titan of comics and global pop culture. He co-created Doraemon and Ninja Hattori. He was the sole creator of The Laughing Salesman. His works are pillars of Asian pop culture to this day. What a legacy. Doraemon isn't just some corporate brand. These characters, created and owned by two artists who poured their hearts into their stories, have stayed relevant and beloved for over half a century. I think as long as humanity exists, so will Doraemon.
I love that point about not being a corporate brand and not having, I don't know, sold out in a particular way. Heel Siblings says, I literally have all volumes of Doraemon, including all of the spin-offs on my bookshelf that I painstakingly collected since my primary school days with what little money I had as a child. And you're telling me two over two of Fujiko Fujio have passed away now.
Yes, unfortunately so. Akiko says, when I was a little girl, I read a lot of Doraemon manga. The imagination was outstanding. Actually, I was sleeping in a futon box too in those days. Doraemon is a real piece of art full of intellectual episodes. Producer, hashtag Fujiko Fujio A, passed away today. RIP Sensei.
And just one more from Glomputer, who says, really crushed to hear this. As an Indian kid in the early 2000s, I practically grew up on Doraemon and Ninja Hattori, just like so many others at the time. His work pretty much transcended borders. Rest in peace, old man. And I just wanted to make that point that visuals and comics have that tendency to be able to cross borders in a way that a lot of other things don't.
I'm going to spend a lot of time tonight, I think, rereading my Doraemons.
Do you still have them?
I have some. Unfortunately, not all, but thankfully, they're still being sold, which means that I can just stop by a Kudai Runchit somewhere and pick up some Doraemons.
So we're paying tribute to Fujiko Fujio, who has passed away at the age of 88, one half of the duo that created Doraemon. And so, of course, we'd like to hear from you. Do you love Doraemon? Share your favorite moments, favorite volumes, favorite stories. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and here's a little bit of the song.
みんな考えてくれ。
bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:50. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And for today on Twitter, we are paying tribute to Fujio Fujiko, who's one half the creator of Doraemon. He's passed away at the age of 88. And so there's so many great tributes being paid to him online. So we thought we'd do our part as well. And we'd like to hear from you. Do you love Doraemon? What are some of your favorites? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have so many messages.
So Jimny starts us off saying, I think Doraemon is so good because the problems faced by Nobita were common and happening among us daily. That's why we always wanted a Doraemon in our life. Doraemon is like our imaginary problem solver. And, you know, Jimny, 100%. I think that at some point in our life, all of us have felt like a Nobita. Maybe not always, hopefully not constantly, but certainly when things aren't going your way or when your friends aren't necessarily perhaps, you know, vibing with your energy, shall we say. We've all felt a little bit like Nobita and all also wanted a live-in robot cat problem solver.
Is Doraemon better than MacGyver?
I would say...
Our producer is nodding.
I mean, so. I just feel, Sharmila, that you ask me these questions, but you know what my answer will be. And I just think that Doraemon is actually one of the best characters of all time. There,
okay,
I said
okay.
It.
Yes, yes, no contesting here.
Only in the sense that, I mean, he's so useful and wonderful. He only needs a little bit of support in the form of Dorayaki. And yet he also has these wonderful parental traits, I'd like to say. You know, there's nothing not to like about Doraemon.
Parental, but also sometimes the friend that gets you into trouble. Let's
That's
be
true.
Honest. Which is kind of the best combination. We have this from Azlan, who says, in memory to Fujio, why Nobita will not come to Malaysia ever? Because we have Giant.
Very nicely done. Very nice. The local combination with the Doraemon level humor, it's excellent. We also have Dahlia, who says, I remember back when I was a kid and still sleeping in my parents' room. In the middle of the night, my mom and I were woken up by my dad laughing maniacally. He was reading a Doraemon comic. He couldn't stop laughing for ages. Those comics were such gems and not just for children.
Oh, that's so sweet. I'm curious, Dahlia, whether it was your comic book or was your dad purchasing Doraemon comics on the sly, because either of those are delightful.
Yes. And also, I do think that actually, like many other things in life, revisiting this stuff when you're an adult actually is interesting. And the humor changes as well, which is why, as I said earlier, I am planning to reread and I would thoroughly recommend everyone does as well.
Darren says, when I look back at my childhood, Doraemon was such an essential part of it. My brother and I would pool our pocket money just to buy the manga. Good times. You know, this thing about pocket money, there was a tweet earlier that referenced that as well. And I think I remember what a big part of that was, what a big part of my childhood that was as well. You know, like two friends powering money together and then you have to decide who gets to keep it for how long. Yeah, good times indeed.
So one of my formative reading memories is actually buying Doraemon for myself. And I remember very clearly that it was volume 19. And I picked it up just because I saw it and I thought, oh, this is interesting. And when I opened it up, I felt that kind of transportive experience that you don't often get. It was my first experience reading manga. Prior to that, it was just Archie comics and things like that. It was the first kind of thing that I was reading in Bahasa that was not part of my schoolwork. So all of these things were really, really formative for me in shaping how I approached or how I thought about reading and reading for pleasure.
Shamil says, I love Doraemon in all caps. And then my first exposure to Doraemon was VHS tape of Kelahiran Jepun that my mom bought from Pasamalam. We watched it a gazillion times and I memorized the entire dialogue until today. By the way, interesting fact, there was a lost season of Doraemon dubbed Doraemon 1973. Oh, and the Doraemon movie is still showing yearly in Malaysia. I still go and watch it every year.
Shamil, my friend, just I also love Doraemon this much. I would love to know, though, whether you have a preference for watching Doraemon or reading it, because it sounds like you might have been more of a watcher of the anime and not so much a reader of the manga. And I do think that the two things are quite different experiences.
I think so. I think I had a bit of both. I will say also that my exposure to the watched version, the anime, was always with the Malay dubs.
Yes.
So I've never actually, well, I have later watched clips of it in the original Japanese with subtitles, but in my head, it's actually the BM voices that I hear when I watch them.
Same, which I actually really love, because going back to that point about it being thoroughly Japanese, it's not as if we were looking at, or rather that Nobita lives in, I don't know, the heart of Tokyo with bullet trains and things like that. You know, it's a very suburban story. And therefore, I think it has that feeling when you're watching or reading it of being simultaneously very alien, because at that age, I think many of us would not have been to Japan, but also very familiar because it's a suburban setting, neighborhood, you're playing with other kids, you know, it's that kind of thing.
There's a question from Kim. What language did you read Doraemon? Mine was in Chinese. There wasn't an English version back then or ever, was there?
So I don't remember there being an English
Me
version.
Neither.
If there is one, maybe now, but I still don't think so.
I read it in BM.
I read it in BM as well. And I've spoken about this before. Without Doraemon, I don't think that I would have been able to pick up Bahasa Malaysia as quickly as I did in school.
Oh, that's an interesting one, right? Because it's a fun way to familiarize yourself with spoken BM.
Yes, and because I didn't study or I didn't go to necessarily the most BM-speaking kindergarten. And so going from an English-speaking household, primarily English-speaking kindergarten, to a very Bahasa Malaysia focused form of learning, I did feel like I was falling behind when I was in Standard 1, and Doraemon's the reason that I didn't.
Lee Jun's one is a little sad. I paid attention in Chinese class so that I could read Doraemon. One of the more traumatic memories was my Chinese primary school was our teachers confiscating our comics when we tried to sneak them into class. That, Lee Jun, I think is an experience that many of us had, and I agree, it is quite traumatic. Do keep those thoughts coming. If you'd like to pay tribute to Fujio Fujiko and Doraemon, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.